KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Sunnyvale, down by Great America.
Sunset District.
In between Cupertino and Saratoga.
San Jose.
Oakland. Antioch.
Half Moon Bay.
Yeah, same here, Half Moon Bay.
Coming up, immigrants and refugees head to a California summer camp.
Even though we don't speak English, we kind of communicate by our hands.
Then we'll preview the International Congress of Youth Voices coming up this weekend in San Francisco.
There are like fresh ideas, things that maybe as adults people don't see.
And we introduce you to up-and-coming Bay Area singer-songwriter Astu.
When I write, I always feel like I'm following something, you know? And I'm like, ooh, it's getting away. Like, let me curve to the left.
That's all coming up today on Cross Currents. We'll start today in Placer County in a grove of pine trees on a hot afternoon. Seven young men are given a challenge.
The goal here is for your group to all get on the box and have no part of your body touching the ground.
We're at a summer camp where close to half of the young people are immigrants and refugees, students from Oakland International High School. KALW's Eli Wertschafter tagged along with one of them, a lanky 19-year-old named Ablil Alemu.
Hey, huddle in, guys, huddle in.
Just bring in a towel.
Ablil's counselor calls the group together to strategize. How will they all get on the box? Ablil takes control.
I'm going in his shoulder so that we can have more space.
Yeah.
Ablil jumps on top of his friend's shoulders, and for 5 seconds, the whole group hangs onto their spot on the box. Hey, they did it. Ablil is from Eritrea. When he was 9, his family faced government extortion. They fled to neighboring Ethiopia and were placed in a refugee camp. He says that there, they were barely treated like humans.
Like, it's not for people, for real. It's just, like, really hot and, like, you don't even have a clothes to wear.
In 2014, the U.S. allowed Ablil's family to come here as refugees, and they flew to Oakland.
When I just came here, I realized that I felt, like, so lonely because I didn't know nobody, like, you know, like, the people don't talk to you or they just, like, be quiet.
So with almost no background in English, Ablil started at Oakland International High School, where all the students come from immigrant families. He says he sat quietly in the back of the class.
All I said is okay or yes or no.
Ablil didn't think he'd graduate high school. Then, after his junior year, he got invited to spend a week in the woods west of Lake Tahoe at a program called the California Global Youth Peace Summit.
You're going to learn English, you're going to have fun, and you're going to communicate with people.
It wasn't until the bus ride up that he found out the bad news. He wouldn't be able to use his cell phone for the whole week.
Wow. I was going to cry the first time, but and then in the middle, it was like, I don't even remember my phone.
Part of the summit is typical summer camp activities, ropes courses, team building games, free time at the pool. But there's also this.
Each one of you is going to go out into nature as an individual.
It's day two of the summit. The camp's founder, Vanessa Stone, gathers the youth in a circle. And she sends everyone out into the woods to find objects for a group art installation.
It can be a stick. It can be pine cone. It could be...
She tells each person their object should represent something in their life that they want to let go of.
So if it feels like a heavy burden, then find a big, heavy thing. If it feels like a gnarly anger, then find something that looks like gnarly anger.
This kind of activity, introspection, talking about life traumas, is really at the heart of the summit, which Stone began 5 years ago.
My family is from Colombia, South America. I had a unique perspective in that way. And also, honestly, I was a young person who was struggling.
Stone never went to college, but she became her own kind of teacher. She went around the world offering something a little like spiritual leadership and a little like group therapy.
I was traveling and doing projects and encountering extraordinary young people from really remote places and going, gosh, how do I get them all together in a conversation? And so I started to realize... wait a minute, there's a global community in our backyard through the refugee population and the immigrant population.
This year, 48 young people came to the summit here in California. About half are immigrants. The rest were born in the U.S.
I wanted our American youth to have direct access to the countries they read about in the news, to have face-to-face personal contact.
The immigrants in the group all attend for free. The summit is kept alive through private donations and a lot of volunteer labor. Barely any of the staff and counselors on site are paid.
Mikaya, push me.
Ablal is chilling in a hammock with one of the American counselors.
Looking at the sky and thinking about ourselves and relaxing.
In his first year at the summit, Ablal had to figure out how to talk with people who spoke different languages.
Even though we don't speak English, we kind of communicate by our hands.
They would just point at that thingy over there.
Oh, you know that thingy, you know what I'm saying? Like, what thingy are you talking about?
Learning how to communicate without words made Ablal more confident. His English got better too. And in group circles at camp, he would reveal even his most personal struggles.
You're sharing the idea, so you kind of have a peace with yourself.
Last year, when Ablal came back from his first summit, he felt like he had transformed.
After the summit, I feel more care about my family and all the other people too. I feel more care than I used to.
This year, Ablal graduated high school. He's going to start classes at community college this fall. But before that, he's savoring his last days at the summit.
I don't want to go home.
A bunch of campers gather around a picnic bench, practicing a song that they're writing. Ablal is tapping along on a cowbell.
Got me feeling down. No one singing how to turn this mess around.
For Ablal, who ran from his own country, whose family had to fight their way into the U.S., the summit is a place that feels safe, that feels like home. In Placer County, I'm Eli Werchafter for Cross Currents.
So we go.
A version of that story first aired on KQED's The California Report. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Young people have a lot to say if the rest of us would only listen. That's the impetus for the International Congress of Youth Voices, taking place this weekend in San Francisco. It's the brainchild of author and educator Dave Eggers, along with Amanda Yulee, bringing together 100 students to talk with famous writers, activists, and elected officials. Youth delegates are coming in from Honduras, Iceland, Iraq, Syria, Zambia, and other countries around the world. Amanda came to our studios with student Jeronimo Perez Flores to talk about the inaugural event with KALW's Ben Trefney.
So what's going to happen this weekend?
Oh, it's going to be so fun. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the whole schedule yet, Jeronimo?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Kind of.
We are having a wonderful boat cruise around the San Francisco Bay with all of our student delegates. And on that boat, we will have the Honorable Representative John Lewis as our speaker. So that will kick things off. And then we have an entire day that is full beyond all reason with wonderful guest speakers coming to talk to us. We have Ev Williams, who founded Twitter. We have Ali Amalek, who's a Syrian-American writer and memoirist. The list goes on and on and on, sort of culminating at the end of the day in a public event at the Norse Theater, where we have our host, Dave Eggers, of course, and Chinaka Hodge, and then they will join Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, Jose Antonio Vargas, and Khaled Hosseini, our main guests. And those folks will share the stage with Jeronimo and our, you know, 99 other incredible student delegates.
What will they be doing?
They will be giving talks and giving speeches, all in their sort of interest area. Almost every student that we are working with as a student delegate, in addition to representing a place, for the most part, these young people are very active in their communities. And so they have a cause or an issue that's important to them.
Jeronimo, what is the kind of activism that you have been focused on?
I have focused on immigration
that's the main focus. Just because I immigrated from Mexico not long ago, maybe a little long, but 4 years ago. So that's my main focus. And the second one is college access.
And how old are you right now?
I'm 21.
So you moved to the United States when you were 17?
Yes.
What was that journey like? What was that experience like?
Well, it was, I will say it was something that even if I explain it, not many people will be able to understand it the way it was, because it was just terrifying. It was something that you don't wish it to nobody. Maybe it's a tough journey. You don't know what's gonna happen. You definitely go there without nothing. What's gonna happen next? You don't know what's gonna happen in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, next day, or even next week. So you don't even know how to if you're gonna get out of there alive.
To get across the border, you
to
mean?
To get across the border, because I enter illegally. I don't know if illegally is a term, because as humans, I think we should be allowed to go around the world freely.
Why did you come here?
Because of education. I believe that if I would have stayed in Mexico, I wasn't gonna get to college. I wasn't gonna do anything in my life but work. So I came here mainly because of the education. I also came here because in Mexico, there is a lot of violence and no opportunity for those that come from the low income. Those are the main reasons, also to support my family still back there.
What do you think young people can share that isn't being heard that can make a difference in the world right now?
Well, I think there are like fresh ideas, things that maybe as adults, people don't see. But as young people, they like truly see what the needs are. And
is that because older people are just used to the way things are?
Yeah, exactly. Because some people just live with a pattern that they don't want to break. But sometimes we have to break those patterns to like make something better or something more appropriate. Because we're changing, right? The world's changing, so we don't want to live in the same path all the time. We want to change things for the better for the people that like the new generations.
What are you hoping to achieve from this weekend?
I'm hoping that people who come to the Norse Theater on Saturday night have a chance to, for a moment, step into the shoes and step into the eyes of these young people who may live in Nepal, who may live in Oakland, who may live, you know, somewhere else that they do not live and have had experiences that they have not had. I think that's an invaluable part of changing the world. And I also think it's that notion of adults actively listening to young people that we lose sometimes. Adults can be really dismissive of young people, and that's the opposite of what we're doing this weekend.
And what'll come next?
Well, next, you know, I didn't actually finish talking about the wonderful culmination of this event. So we keep everyone very busy on Saturday, and then on Sunday we slow down a little bit and we really are turning it over to the student delegates. They have that time for writing and collaborating, and The Guardian, who's our media partner, has agreed to publish whatever they come up with. So they may write a plan, they may start an organization, they could write a manifesto. They'll have the platform, the global platform of The Guardian, to kind of tell the world what's next and what they believe is right and next for young people. So I don't know if you've thought about that, Geronimo.
Yeah, I have been thinking about it.
Okay.
Just collaborating with all these young people. It's just going to be great to see if we can like agree on things or maybe disagree, but share our thoughts.
That was Amanda Yuli and Geronimo Perez Flores. They spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney. The International Congress of Youth Voices takes place this weekend, and you can go to the public event Saturday night at the Norse Theater in San Francisco. It'll feature Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, Khaled Hosseini, and Jose Antonio Vargas, among others. Find all the details at KALW.org.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. We're continuing our local global connection with a little music. Eritrean-American singer Astu began her journey with music at the age of 5, singing gospel as the daughter of Christian ministers. With the 2018 release of her debut album, Patterns, the songstress explores her experiences of love, redemption, and Black womanhood. In this edition of Bay Area Beats, Astu tells her story of the path that's taken her from being a former minister herself in Oklahoma, all the way to finding a new sense of identity and belonging in the city of Oakland.
You know, I can do this. I'm not a failure. Like, this is real. Like, this path is real for me, and I just have to keep going. And I just make mistakes along the way, but just keep doing it. Like, it's gonna happen.
Where did you come from, baby? Where did you go? Love doesn't last forever, but I didn't know.
My name is Astu. I grew up in San Jose, and I actually was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is pretty funny. To me, it's pretty hilarious. And I came here when I was 3 with my family, and so I grew up in the South Bay. My parents actually have a really amazing story. They grew up in Eritrea, which at the time was going through a lot of war and a war for independence. And so they had a lot of, they were refugees. So they traveled a lot through Eastern Africa, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Eritrea, Ethiopia. And as they were, they found each other and they found God. And particularly through charismatic Christianity, Pentecostal Christianity. And so they would travel through Sudan and Saudi Arabia preaching the gospel. My parents were thrown into jail multiple times. There was like, my mom was, my mom and my aunt actually were both pregnant with my brother and my cousin. And they were thrown into jail, and they weren't given food. And I mean, they experienced a lot to where, for them, Christianity is like so deeply rooted. So I was born into that kind of a belief, something that's actually literally saved them, or what they believe saved them, you know? Our house was like, you know, secular was a huge word. It was a bad word. And so for us, it was like Christian music, Christian television, nothing, you know, we weren't watching Disney, and we weren't listening to Michael Jackson or God forbid Prince. And so for me, from such a young age, I knew, you know, music that was worship to the Christian God as good and everything else was bad. I remember, I think I was like 3rd grade, was the first time I heard a song by Michael Jackson, and it was Black, I think it's called Black and White? Yeah. And I remember just hearing that melody and just feeling like in shock. I didn't know that something like that existed. I mean, gospel music is beautiful and I love that. But that was like, I still have that memory of hearing that, those melodies, and just thinking like, oh wow, like that's what I want, you know? So as I got older, you know, I definitely like listened to other, to secular, quote unquote, secular music as I got older. And like my brother would sneak it, you know, in the house when my parents were gone and that sort of thing. And I'd go to my friends' houses and, you know, I like heard about, started hearing like Mariah Carey. Yeah. Tupac and Biggie and, you know, Bone Thugs. And it was just like, it was like this world that I wanted so badly, but it was just like, I can't have that. That's bad. But I loved it. And I was like, okay. And like, it was like this innate feeling of being bad. Run quick, see what do we have here now? So as I got older, I eventually caved in, you know, like I always knew I would. And I went to a seminary college and became a minister myself. So I was in Oklahoma. I went back to Oklahoma where my dad and my uncle went to college. And I became a worship leader, you know, and the full extent of it, like I got married to a minister, you know, we bought a house, like we got a dog. Like I was like, I'm gonna, you know, this is the American dream. This is what my parents came here for. You know, this is what God provided for me. And so I was singing and I was making music, but it wasn't the same thing. Like, I really do love gospel music, and it was a really beautiful, like, experience. But it was still, something was, like, really missing.
It's been a long time since we felt it. And my people, we hungry. We wanna take it back to love, back to love, back to love. We gotta take it back to love, back to love, back to love.
So I ended up leaving all of that. And I just like had made a decision, like, I'm just not doing this anymore. I'm not living other people's lives anymore. I have to live for myself because I'm living this other life and I'm so unhappy. And so I just started like slowly making decisions that were based on what I really like was passionate about and really truly desired. And the more and more I did that, it was just like everything made sense, you know? Leaving was this realization that like I want to be happy. I remember saying that to myself and being like in shock because I'd never ever even thought of that concept, which was weird because it's like so simple. It should be your beginning, your intention, you know? And then when I left, I found music, my music. When I write, it's like, I always feel like I'm following something, you know? And I'm like, oh, it's getting away. Like, let me curve to the left or, you know, whatever I got to do to, like, keep with that emotion or keep with that feeling and see where it's going to take me, you know? Like, I fall in love and I like, you know, I experience these, like, overwhelming emotions and I think that they're the only one. And, you know, 6 months later, I fall in love again, you know? And so it was really a recognition of, like, what are these habits? Like, what are these patterns? And if I'm not getting the results I want, like, what do I have to do to change that, you know? And to find, like, real love, you know?
Every time it hurts so bad, still I come back. Still I come back to you.
When I came to Oakland, I had no idea that I could be accepted for who I was, and not only that, but celebrated for who I was. As a Black woman, it was like revolutionary for me. I'm so grateful that like there's a place in the world, and I know there's more places like this, but like to be in a city where it's like being a Black woman is like revered. It was like, it was just so, at that time, I was so vulnerable and I just needed to be loved, you know? And Oakland did that for me. Like, Oakland just like took me in its arms and loved me and like said it was okay. I'm getting hella emotional, but just told me like, you're beautiful and like everything that you are is right. And like, wow, I needed that then, you know? Because I had like wiped the slate clean and I was just kind of like, what am I? Who am I? What am I doing, you know? And when I came to Oakland, it wasn't like, hey, you be this or you be this. It was just like, we see you. Oakland has given so much to me, you know, from the beginning. Oakland just, the moment I got here, Oakland just gave to me. And so, like, all I want to do, I don't want to take from Oakland. Like, I just want to give to Oakland, you know?
Oh,
You can catch Astu in concert this Saturday night, August 4th, at the Swedish American Music Hall in San Francisco. Show starts at 8 o'clock. This edition of Bay Area Beats was produced by Beau Walsh. Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Nina Gensler-Deb, Sarah Harrison, Mary Franklin Harvin, Angela Johnston, Lisa Morehouse, True Gwynn, and Priscilla Wilson. Gabe Graben and James Rollins engineer the show. Shireen Adil is our content manager. Jen Chien is our managing editor. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by Same Girls from Oakland. They're performing in San Francisco as part of Elbow Room's monthly music event, Throwin' Bows. That's Thursday, and the show starts at 9 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
Take me with you. I've been lonely in my lonesome, in my